This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to Jax
and Dean
on our podcast.
This is our podcast.
It is our. I've just said that, Dean.
This is our podcast.
Oh, it's still our podcast now. That's cute.
Cute.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Play the podcast, please.
Oh, I don't want to wait anymore. You're with Rach and Dean. With Tristan in the back for the Tuesday drive home. I'm a little bit excited. I'm sort of fanboying a little bit, Rach.
Oh.
So we've got a guest here all the way from the US of A. It is Joel Kim Booster. Welcome to Joy.
Hello.
Big round of applause for you. I'm a bit excited.
Oh, no.
You're so funny.
What?
I've been watching you on YouTube and on different clips.
Thank you.
You're funny. And now, I did ask off air, but can I refer to you as a Gaijin?
Yeah, you know what? Go ahead. You guys can. You're my friends.
I feel like I know you so well after 5 minutes.
now that we're good pals, you can. It's not my favorite term, but it doesn't offend me. It doesn't upset me when people call it me that. I don't know why. It's something about just the way it feels in my mouth doesn't agree with me, but I don't mind it.
Roll around your tongue a little
bit. Well, it's not like you'd ever go up to someone and be like, hi, my name's Joel and I'm a Gaijin.
Yeah.
Like,
I know a lot of people who do identify like first like greeting as a Gaijin, and they really like, they own it and they like it. And I, you know what? God bless them and keep them and and go with God. I do not judge anyone's personal decisions about how they choose to identify, and if Gaijin is how they want to go, then, you know, please, but it's not for me.
Now, you were born in South Korea.
I was.
But you were adopted and grew up in Chicago.
Yes. Adopted at like 3 months. Very, very white family.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, I did see not only, well, I didn't know that they were a white family, but I noticed that they were an evangelical family.
Yes.
So I myself come from a bit of a Christian evangelical background.
Oof.
What was life like for you growing up in that, and then, you know?
Oof, I mean, incredibly sheltered. They homeschooled me until I was 16.
Wow.
Yeah, just me and my brother at home, and then like church kids, you
mm-hmm,
know, the
mm-hmm.
odd homeschooling outing. I was on a homeschooled bowling league, for instance, which was just a well of charisma,
like
from all these kids. Yeah, 10-pin bowling, and just a bunch of other, you know, homeschooled kids who couldn't look you in the eyes. And
do you have a school dance? You didn't have a school dance?
No, we'd never had school
dance.
Well, and we wouldn't have had them anyways because we didn't. My parents were very anti-dancing.
No.
Yeah, my church was very, very anti-dancing as well. Very pro, you know, any movement, keep the movements above the waist, sort of.
What's the worst that could happen? You might turn out gay or something.
And that turned out to be the case. So I think it's a real lesson for the rest of
church don't dance, guys.
No, you should
don't dance, or it'll send you straight to hell.
So, okay, you've come from like a church evangelical background. You came out as gay. How did you become funny? Like, that's the question. You've been homeschooled your whole life. When did you like go, oh wait, actually there's this thing called humor in the world?
Yeah, you know what? I think like a big like source of my comedy and my style of comedy is started as oversharing and just like telling the truth and not having a filter. And that came from, I was always like a very like charismatic little kid. I always very sociable. I liked to be around other people. I begged my parents to send me to school every year.
Aww.
From like the third grade on. And when I got to school, it wasn't a huge adjustment for me because I was pretty socially adept, but there were certain gaps in my social education that just became so evident when I got to school, in that like I didn't know how to keep a secret because I'd never been given a secret before, you know? And I didn't know, you know, and little stuff like, you know how friends talk about shit about each other behind their backs all the time. Every friend, this happens all the time, and it's usually about like, oh, fuck Lisa, she's always late, you know? And it's like, you don't really want to fuck Lisa. You love Lisa. She's your friend, but she is always late, and that's something you talk about with your friends while you're waiting for fucking Lisa to show up. And Lisa would show up, and I'd be like, yeah, Lisa, everyone's always talking about how late you are. Why are you always late? And she'd be like, what? And I would just spill the beans on everything.
No.
Yeah, because I just didn't get it. I didn't get, like, that's how you acted and sort of survived in social situations was by keeping some of those things, you know, to yourself.
But fast forward a number of years and you end up on Conan. So clearly...
It worked. I mean, for me, for the first, like, year... and a half, 2 years of my stand-up career, it was more storytelling of just like crazy things that I did. And that works because it made people laugh, and that's a good place to start. But it did take me a while to learn how to write jokes, like stand-up jokes around those without just leaving it at the story. That was one of the first things that I remember someone told me when I was starting out stand-up is I think a lot of people start from this happened to me and they just tell the story. And it's like, well, you get to the end of the story and now you have to there has to be something else because anybody can just, you know, life is happening to all of us at, you know, and every moment. And if stand up was just going up on stage and recounting that, then like, who the fuck cares? You know, just, oh, am I allowed to cuss?
Not usually on Drive.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
That's right. They're going to cut us off. No.
Now, not only are you a comedian, but you're also a writer. Now, I read that you wrote for, Billy Eichner's Billy on the Street.
Yes, I was a writer on this last season. I think it was the last season that is ever going to happen of Billy on the Street, but I don't quote me on
that. So that is actually scripted, because that looks fairly...
It is and it isn't. So, you know, his interactions with the people beyond the initial, like, interactions. So, like, all those $4 questions,
yes.
Like, those are all written by us. And when I say written, like, we come up with them, and then Billy rewrites it about 90% of the way. So there's about 10% of whatever you initially wrote, which is like, of course it is, because it's his show. It's like so in his voice. Like that's why you wouldn't assume it's written, because he's taking all of, you know, our ideas and sort of matching them to his voice, which is exactly what he should be doing. And and then a lot of the other stuff is like pitching games that Billy will eventually fill out. Like I pitched Escape Margot Robbie's Moment, the obstacle course, and then it's just so cool to be like, wouldn't this be funny if you did an obstacle course called Escape Margot Robbie's Moment, because she was having a real moment last year.
Oh yeah.
And just watching Billy's brain sort of filter that into this insane obstacle course. Google it. It's really funny.
We will. We're having a chat with Joel Kim Booster. Are you happy to stick around for a song?
Absolutely.
You're with Rach and Dean. With Tristan in the back, we're having a bit of a laugh with Joel Kim Booster. He's in town for the Melbourne International Comedy Festival.
Yes.
We're having more than a bit of a laugh. We just were having a little conversation off air about the RuPaul's Drag Race episode where Monet Exchange
explains the American accent was what was the British accent.
No.
British accent.
Dean and I were like,
it's absolutely true. I swear to Christ. Look it up. Google it. Monet is right. Justice for Monet.
All
justice
Monet.
For Monet. Wait. I know we have so much like real shit.
Oh, yeah.
That's okay.
Fine. Okay. We have so much real shit to talk about. But can I get just your guys' very quickly top three this season?
Oh, look, Aquaria is good, but I think Miss Cracker is better.
I agree.
Asia O'Hara, because of her teeth, they're like perfect. I'm judging a drag queen based on her teeth.
It's totally fair enough.
Yeah.
Oh.
I kind of have a bit of a soft spot for
Mayhem.
Like, I know Dusty.
She's
R.I.P.
Oh, she's gone. Yep, oh,
spoiler.
Obviously, I didn't watch Friday's episode. Oh,
wait, but that's where the Monet Exchange.
Wait, maybe I watched half of it. I probably fell asleep.
Oh my God,
to be honest.
It's the best lip sync of the season so far.
Oh,
it was so good.
Oh yeah,
it's so good. You got to watch it again. It's one of the top 10 of all the season.
Who's your top three?
Mine is Monet, Asia, and Monique. I think, and then Miss Cracker would be my number four.
Yeah.
But I love Asia. I think she's so great. I've been
so, okay, was Bendela Creme Shangela or Trixie?
I was a Shangela. I didn't like this season really at all. I didn't go in pumped for any of the queens, but like it's hard to deny that Shangela was the winner of the season. She ran away with the season.
Like Bendela.
Oh, well, and Bendela. Bendela really made the case because I didn't get Bendela after season six. I didn't like the shtick. I wasn't excited for him to come back. She turned it. She was great. I was convinced. I wasn't exactly rooting for her, and I was deeply annoyed by how she left because I just was. I mean, some people disagree and think it's a gag, but I was annoyed. And then it sucked a lot of the drama out of the season.
Trixie's good, but an all-star?
No. She's... Congrats for your great career off the show. She's not great. She's not great at this competition. No. She's a great drag queen, but she's
if
not
good at
this. If you
just tuned in, you listen to RuPaul's Drag Race on Joy 94.9.
I hope gay people in this country are the same as ours, where they just... That's the only thing we talk
that
about.
That is life.
6 months out of the year.
We did get a text message in during the last song, though, from Grant saying that he loves you and you are so funny, and he used the word that you've used numerous times that we're not meant to use during Drive Slot. So thank you, Grant.
I didn't know. It's not their fault.
Yes.
Now, you are in town for the show Headliners.
Yes.
Now, a couple of weeks back, we met Zaneb and Dulce, mm-hmm. Who were here for the Headliners as well. So there is, four USA comedians?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All doing a bit.
Yes. 15 minutes each quarter.
15 minutes? I know. That's a long way to come for 15 minutes.
I know. But I'm not complaining. It's a great gig.
It's awesome. So you guys are on at Max Watts every single night at 8:15, except for on Sunday at 7:15. Why it's an hour earlier, no one knows. You can check out Joel Kim Booster on comedyfestival.com.au, and you can just look up Headliners, or you can look up Joel Kim Booster if you're are bothered to type in all three.
Just Joel. Kim is
Korean.
Is my Korean's last name at birth, and then my parents just made it my middle name.
That's
nice, man. Yeah,
they were good. They were good about that stuff.
Awesome. I wish we could keep you on for like the next 10 hours, because that would be hilarious.
I can't believe you had so many interesting questions you wanted to ask me, and I derailed the whole thing just by asking you about Drag Race.
That's right.
Me.
We'll talk
you
about
have to come
it
back.
Another time. Yeah. Thank you so much
you so
for
much
joining
for your time.
Us.
Goodbye.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.